Hello and welcome. I'm Tracy McClure. Throughout the Western Hemisphere, schools are closing for the summer holidays, and people everywhere are readying to hit the beaches, mountains, or vacation destinations for a well-deserved break. Pope Benedict says everyone needs some time off, and that free time and regular vacations are an opportunity as well as a right. The Pope made that remark in a message to participants at a recent World Congress on the pastoral care of tourism in Cancun, Mexico. In that message, he reiterated the Church's advocacy for making this right become a reality for all people, especially for less fortunate communities. Tourism, together with vacations and free time, the Holy Father writes, is a privileged occasion for physical and spiritual renewal. It facilitates the coming together of people from different cultural backgrounds and offers the opportunity of drawing close to nature and hence opening the way to listening and contemplation, tolerance and peace, dialogue and harmony in the midst of diversity. But while tourism is widely thought to benefit local communities, it can have negative repercussions that travelers are unaware of. To find out more, I talked to Mark Watson, the Executive Director of Tourism Concern, a UK-based charity which raises awareness about the need for ethical and sustainable tourism. I began by asking, what should travelers be thinking about as they head off on holiday this season?
We're very much campaigning to ensure that holidays benefit the people in the destinations as well. And I think any holidaymakers should really be thinking of the overall impacts of their holiday. Obviously it's a time for people to relax and enjoy themselves, and people have worked very hard and deserve a holiday. But, I think the best holidays actually are those where everybody benefits from that. So, when you go away, that the people in the destinations also benefit from your holiday. So really should be looking out for what are the impacts of my holiday? How can I travel more ethically? Who is going to benefit? And how can that actually improve my holiday experience?
Well, we've seen that, for example, human trafficking, sex tourism, organ transplant tourism even. There are various serious concerns which Pope Benedict has called deviant and abhorrent practices. And he's been calling on tourism operators and the international community to do more to stop practices like this. What more can be done? And should tourism operators be held accountable in some way?
Yes, I think there's we campaign very much part for tour operators and obviously for tourists themselves, because the tour operators often do what tourists want them to do. I think tourists have got some responsibility in this as well. But clearly, tour operators themselves need to be aware of the impacts of the holidays they're having. Now, of course, those examples are quite extreme examples, and most people when they're travelling, not going for sex tourism or for, organ transplant tourism, which are clearly, right at the very end of that. But we do work with tour operators when people are going to visit indigenous people, for instance, tribal people. And then there's the case that we highlighted earlier in the year where people in the Andaman Islands in India, tourists were going there. These are a protected tribe, the Jawa. Completely uncontacted, they shouldn't be disturbed, and yet tourists are bribing the police to go in there, and the police are then making the tribal people dance semi-naked for the cameras for the tourists. So clearly, people are having impacts there, but right across the board, tourists do have impacts. There's a big rise in things like all-inclusive holidays. Now, obviously, a lot of people think, well, that's a good thing for the tourists. But, there are impacts on local people. If people are going on an all-inclusive holiday, they're not tipping local people. They're not putting money into the local economy. They're quite often not going out to local restaurants and local bars, etc. And so that's having an impact further down the chain. So I think
I was going to ask you just about that, because, this is a period of economic downturn. Everybody is counting every penny these days. But you're saying that it really comes down to also helping the local community.
I think there's the reason we go on holiday. I don't think people just go to sit in the sun. I think, you know, there's a whole range of benefits. There's the cultural exchange. We meet new people. We try new foods. I mean, there's a whole part of that holiday experience I think is very important. And I just think that if you're going on holiday, it's like you're going to somebody's house. You want to have that. It's a cultural exchange that is a two-way. You respect both sides of that. So, you know, if you're going on holiday into a destination, and if you're there thinking, well, actually, it's all about how cheap it is for me, and it doesn't. I don't care how that impacts the local people. I think ultimately that will be damaging for your holiday experience, and obviously it's not good for the business in the long term either. I think, you know, proper sustainable holidays have to take into account the impacts on people. And it isn't just about trying to get the best deal all the time. It is actually about how do I get the best holiday.
Another thing that you are also doing is calling on travelers to take care when it comes to water, and not just when they want to drink it. What are you saying there about water?
Well, the water is a big impact. I think if you, as a tourist, you should go on holiday, and the idea is that you don't exploit people and you don't take resources away from people. Now, quite what happens is, you know, quite often people want to travel to destinations not in the rainy season, in the dry season, for obvious reasons. A lot of holiday destinations are on the coast or on islands where water is quite limited anyway. And what is happening in some resorts is that the hotels are using a lot of water. They're sometimes putting in boreholes which to take water, which of course lowers the water table, which is actually having a knock-on effect to local people whose wells are drying up and taking the water away from the people that live there. So again, you know, people, we have to aware that actually water is quite a scarce commodity in lots of the destinations that they're going to. And to use it, obviously tourists on the whole are wealthy, but to use that power to take water away from local people is clearly not a good thing.
Okay, but so I've already booked my hotel in some place, perhaps even Abu Dhabi or Dubai or someplace like that. What should I be doing then when I actually get there?
Well, we've produced a leaflet for tourists about how they can manage their water. So just it's the obvious things about just being careful how they use water, water-saving tips, not running the tap unnecessarily when they're cleaning their teeth, and just being aware of their water usage while they're on holiday, and just not to think that there's endless supplies of water, because, you know, the same as we've actually, in the UK, we've been in a drought here that, although hard to believe sometimes, in all of these destinations, water is a very scarce commodity, and taking it for more than tourist users, often that leaves less for the local people. So it's just being aware of those issues and asking the hotel what policies that they've got in place to save water. How are they managing their water supply? Where is their water coming from? You know, those sort of questions people should be asking. I think it's very important that tourists do ask their hotels, their tour operators, you know, certain questions about their holiday to make sure that they're not having negative impacts on local people.
Well, in June 2011, the United Nations Human Rights Council endorsed a set of guiding principles on business and human rights to reinforce the responsibility of businesses to respect human rights as a global baseline standard. To what extent should and can the tourism sector adhere to principles like that?
Well, we think they can. I mean, we have a very encouraging round table here with the Institute of Human Rights and Business, and looked at how the RUGI principles can be applied to the tourism industry. Now, the tourism industry, for starters, you know, is global by nature. It crosses borders. Traditionally, the hospitality sector has had, you know, quite poor working conditions and that. So, you know, I think it is something that these principles have a real benefit to. And we are looking at how they can be applied. We looked at the whole round table, was looking at, you know, what are the impacts of trying to apply these? How would they work in practice? And how can they, you know, how can people look down the supply chain, particularly at the impacts of, the tour operators? And we're very encouraged. I mean, there's some tour operators that are starting now to actually look at human rights impacts of their operations and taking a destination and really going through the whole supply chain and trying to understand those. And I think, it's not going to be easy. And I think, in some respects, the tour operators are very good on things like sex tourism now. I think those issues, a lot of them have got very good policies on that, understand those issues. I think it gets more complex when you start talking about workers' rights and rights to unions and, you know, right to a decent living wage, etc. And that, those ends of the human rights scale, I think it becomes more complex. But I think from my view and talking to people in the industry, there is certainly an understanding within the industry that these things have to be done and that they are working towards getting them right.
Just another question. How do you think the internet has affected tourism in a positive way or in a negative sense? I mean, we've seen a lot of our local travel agencies, for example, close down because people are just buying their tickets online now.
Yes, I think that's true. I mean, people have far more of a pick-and-mix way to do their holidays now than perhaps they did 10 or 15 years ago. People can choose, choose their flight. They can choose their hotel separately on the internet. And I think that has there are some good benefits from that. I mean, there's a greater choice. People can, find places that maybe they couldn't have found before. Hotels are not necessarily having to rely on big tour operators to say which hotels that tourists are going to go to, etc. So there is in some ways it can be a very good thing for individuals and for local businesses. On the other hand, there is less control over that. So, you know, instead of once before, you might want to say to a tour operator, look, have a look at your human rights impacts of your operation, and they'd have control over the whole supply chain. That is not the case as anymore because, the more fragmented supply chain. So I think there's good and bad for a bit. I'm on the whole a big fan of the internet, and I think it's important. It does allow people to be able to find places that they wouldn't do before, and actually increase that sort of awareness of some of the issues. So we're certainly finding with the internet, people now really want to find out what the issues are and looking at the impacts. And one of the projects we're planning for this year is a sort of a know before you go campaign, so people can say, well, actually, I'm thinking of going to Tanzania. What are the issues in Tanzania for people? I'm going to climb Kilimanjaro. What are the things I should be asking my tour operators? And actually, people using the internet to find out that information is very useful. I mean, our porters campaign that we ran a couple of years ago now, over 50% of the tour operators now adopt that, which means porters get decent footwear, they're paid a decent wage, etc. And that, I think, is because tourists have been demanding that. And I think the internet has been a very useful tool in being able to get information out to tourists.
Okay. And so, obviously, you, as Tourism Concern, are getting your message out across the internet. In what other ways are you trying to raise awareness about the concerns out there in the industry?
Well, just on the internet again, I mean, there's one of the interesting projects that we are about to launch, really, is this Community Voices on Tourism, where we want to be able to say that people in destination communities can actually engage directly with tourists. So a lot of their issues, I mean, quite often people in particularly marginalized communities don't have a say in tourism development. They're, getting their voice heard on these issues is very difficult. So we will be developing an interactive map which will allow community organizations, NGOs, and communities in destinations to be able to upload information about how tourism impacts them, and then tourists will be able to engage directly with those communities. So I think that will be a very important step in raising the issues and engaging tourists with being able to travel more ethically. We're doing some work on favela tourism in Brazil, which is quite interesting. It's the idea of, is it right for wealthy tourists to go and visit poor areas, visit the poor people for entertainment, and how is that beneficial or not, and how can that be done in a more ethical way?
And what are you proposing there?
Well, we're going to do a piece of research. We're going to work with a community organization in the favelas in Rio, because there are some of these tours happening, and actually some of them can bring real benefits, and we've seen it in the townships in South Africa, that some of these tours that are run by local community organizations can bring real benefits, and actually tourists do benefit from the experience of going to understand some of the issues there. What we're worried about is some tour operators are just jumping on that, and tourists are going almost like human safaris to just look at what's happening without really engaging with the issues. So what we're trying to do is a piece of research is what's happening now, and then we will develop a pack for community organizations that want to develop these tours that so they can happen in a way that will benefit the local community.
And a warm thanks there to Mark Watson, the Executive Director of Tourism Concern.